This is The Voice, Sacramento's only community access radio station.
Too many poems, too many words, too much information to be heard. Do the best you can. Down to no man. Open up what is rare. Emotions I can barely bear. Like swimming in a nightmare. It is all unfair. So beware. They leave traces of themselves everywhere. Photographic image in a tabloid disappears into the void. Negativity destroyed their pulses according to Freud. Because each soul has a voice, each being has a choice. Hearts are at risk, each one to be kissed. Each being has a choice. What is true? A glimpse, a preview. Because each soul has a voice, each being has a choice. Hearts are at risk, each one has to be kissed. Each being has a choice, and each soul.
FM KUBU, The Voice, and we just heard John Tiven and Each Soul Has a Voice, speaking of The Voice, and right now on the phone all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, I've got the guest of the hour, John Tiven. John, how are you today?
I'm well, and you must mention that it's Stephen Kalinich and John Tiven. There's two of us in this group. It's sort of like, you know, Hall & Oates and you know, like one of those kind of groups, you know.
Exactly. You guys are definitely a duo, and I'm loving the song so far, John Tiven and Stephen Kalinich. So how long have you guys been collaborating?
Well, Stephen and I met, I think it was around 2005, 2006, around then, when I was working with another artist. I was producing P.F. Sloan's comeback album, Sail Over.
Ah.
And Steve and P.F. had written a couple songs together for the record. And so Stevie came out to Nashville when we were doing, I think, some gigs to support the record. And then we ended up going to India together.
Wow.
In 2006. And then we became really good friends. You know, when you take a trip like that, him, me, and P.F. Sloan went to India for about 10 days, and England before that, and just, you know, we bonded, you know. He's a very funny guy, you know. He's very entertaining to be around. You know, when I first met him, I thought, oh, this guy is the nudgiest guy in the world. You know, but once you hang out with him, you know, you learn to, you know, respect each other's boundaries, and just, you know, and things become more natural and stuff. He's great. He's one of the most wonderful, kind-spirited souls I have ever encountered.
That's wonderful. And, you know, I guess there's nothing like a trip for 10 days to neutral territory in a foreign land to either create that bond or, you know, or hate each other. I'm glad that you did the former.
Yeah, well, it was pretty great. It was a wonderful, very eye-opening trip for the three of us. And it was the start of a great friendship, you know. And, you know, it's nice when you meet someone who you know, really can have a real relationship with as friends as well as collaborators, because, you know, most groups and stuff, they meet each other when they're young and they're sort of unformed as people, and then the people grow into people that are much different than the people that they started out as, and they end up hating each other, and they don't like being on stage with each other or writing songs with each other, and it gets old. Whereas we met when we were both very well-developed as people and as artists, so that, you know, we knew, you know, pretty quickly, you know, what the other person was going to be like, and we decided we liked each other, which is great, you know. I mean, you know, we're heterosexual. I'm a married man, and he's been married before, you know, but it's nice to have someone that you really like in your life that you can work with. You know, it's such a rare thing.
Absolutely, and as a fan, I can honestly say that it shows when people are really having fun on stage, and it also shows when they are not having fun. So, love to see you guys play. I am sure I would be able to pick up on that vibe immediately.
Great. Well, we're anxious to get out there and get in front of people. I hope that's able to happen.
That would be wonderful. Now, this album is not a first for you guys. You guys have recorded and collaborated before, right? This is definitely this is not a recent phenomenon for you guys.
Well, we had a two-CD set out about 3 or 4 years ago. That was our first recording together. But we had a song before that on Stevie's California Feeling record, which came out, I guess, about a year before that. And now we've also got songs that we've written together with the artist Tara Holloway up in Canada. And we have an entire record that Stevie and I produced and co-wrote with an artist named Ellis Hooks, who I've produced 6 records with previously, who's just amazing. He's sort of like an updated version of Otis Redding. He's from Alabama.
Nice.
He's half Cherokee, half African-American, and he's just the greatest singer. He's, you know, a tremendous artist. So this is a fun thing to make. I'll be out in October. You know, we're doing as much fun stuff together as we can, and we write together practically every day.
That's fantastic. So, now, I heard that you guys wrote a couple of extra songs for this album.
We wrote, like, I mean, we've written over 1,000 songs.
That's amazing.
I mean, I don't know any songwriting partners who've written 1,000 songs. That's really pretty nuts.
I know. And when I heard that,
part of being like, you know, being able to, well, the other thing is, you know, we don't have to sit in the same room with each other when we write these songs. He writes a lyric. He emails it to me. I work on the music here, and I send him back what I have, and then he comes back to Nashville to sing it with me when it's time to make a record.
That's wonderful. And when I heard that number that you did like 1,000 songs, I was wondering how in the world can you narrow it down to just 14 for this album? That's an incredible task.
Well, that was a tough process, because what you do is first you narrow it down to the best 100 songs.
Wow.
And then, you know, because what I do is, you know, as we do them, I sort of earmark certain songs as, oh yeah, this was a great one. This is real special. When we go back to make the record, let's look at this again. So, you know, you narrow it down to your first 100 songs, and then you think, oh, okay, let's narrow it down further and keep. And then, you know, as you're doing the narrowing down processing, you're writing more songs every day.
Wow.
So, you know, you get down to your last, you know, 14 songs, and you've got four more that you've written since you started the whole selection process that you can't live without. So, you know, you cut 20 and you pick 14 from among the 20 and hope that you pick the right 14.
Did a certain theme emerge amongst the songs that you wanted on the album?
Well, you know, the last record was sort of, you know, it was a concept record in the sense that it was one record that was me and Stevie just being very earnest and philosophical and transcendental, and then the other record, which was sort of our, you know, imaginary bad boy selves, Jack Hashtag and Reverend Nobody, singing songs about things that no one who's transcendental would ever bother with. But that was just sort of us making fun of ourselves so people wouldn't think that we were just a bunch of, you know, egghead spiritualists and stuff.
Right.
We could write a song, you know, called, you know, Don't F With Me, or, you know, I Scratch My Balls, or whatever, and, you know, to sort of prove the point. But, you know, this record is more or less it's sort of halfway in between, rather than being so far in the transcendental corner or so far in the, you know, I Scratch My Balls. It's, you know, it's like, life is a effing zoo, what animal are you?
Yeah.
That's about as juvenile as we get, you know, on this record. There's a lot of heavy stuff on this record. I mean, there's a song that Stevie Klinich collaborated on the lyric with Keith Reed from Procol Harum on a song about Malala, the girl from Pakistan who, you know, got the Nobel Peace Prize, and Steve Cropper jumped in on the music for that one. It's a real, you know, heavy song. And I was very proud of that. I was very proud to get, once again, Brian May jumped in to participate in this record. And
wow.
It was a song that Brian and I had started on years ago, and I had continued to work on. And then Stevie sent me a lyric that I thought would be excellent for the tenor of the music. So I worked on it. I sent it to Brian to make sure that he was okay with the direction it was going, and he loved it. He just was just knocked out by the whole thing, and so he asked if he could redo his guitar in a few places, so I sent it back to him so he could do that, and he enjoyed that. We sent it off to Mark Gornett, our co-producer and mixer, and he mixed the whole thing and made it sound just fantastic, and Brian is such a big supporter of this record, and really has been very enthusiastic as to how proud he is to be a part of it, and how much he likes the music that we're making, which is very meaningful to me because we've been good friends for many years, and this is, you know, the first. I mean, we've written songs together, and, you know, hung out, and, you know, done things good friends do. But this is the first thing where I really feel like he's deeply involved with the process, and I'm really enjoying it because he's a lovely man.
Very nice. You know, the music fanboy in me right now is just getting all excited. I just want my listeners to pause and reflect on the three names we just heard here: Brian May, Steve Cropper, Mark Lynette. Big, big heavy hitters. It's so cool that they're on your album. So that's okay. I'm done.
And Keith Reed.
Oh, my goodness.
Keith Reed from Boko Haram, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
I wrote the word for whiter shade of pale. I mean, you know, how deep is that in your DNA?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I'm done gushing now, but I had to gush for a moment. That was just pretty amazing right there.
Go on.
Okay, so do you have any gigs coming up to support this album? Is there a CD release party coming up?
We're trying to put that together now, but we've just been so bogged down in this, getting this record out and making sure the record came out properly. We haven't really put the live thing together. I'm supposed to start rehearsals this week, just to get the band ready and stuff. And once I feel like I've got a band that is going to shake the world once I get it out there, not just service the record. And I think I've got the people ready to do it. We'll see. Then I'll feel more confident in really telling people that, yes, if you book us for a gig, you know, we're going to be the best thing that's hit that stage all year.
Very good. Good news on the John Tiven and Stephen Kalinich front. I'm here with John Tiven right now, and we're talking about the new album, Each Soul Has a Voice. John, why don't we take a quick break and play another song off the album? Let's test my dexterity. What song would you like me to play?
Oh, we were just talking about the Rude Awakening song that we wrote with Brian May that he plays all the guitars on. Why don't we play that one?
Okay, is that that's the number one, right? Rude Mix, I think?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
here we go.
The very first song.
All right, here we go. Here's Rude.
Rude awakening, salvation never comes. All the people who are
John Tiven and Stephen Kalinich with Rude Awakenings off the brand new album Each Soul Has a Voice. And I am here with John Tiven. John, where can my listeners find out more about you and your music?
Well, there's the record company's website is www.foothillrecords.com. And this stuff is out on, you know, on Amazon and TuneCore. And it's supposed to be on iTunes soon, but it hasn't quite made it there yet. So we're hoping this week it'll be showing up. And I've got a site, www.johntiven.net. And we're on Facebook. You know, we're as present as we can possibly be, given that we're, you know, not particularly well organized, managed, or any of that stuff.
All the usual places. Well, that's good. That's typical of the digital age. I mean, there's so many ways and places to get the word out. So I've got to talk a little bit more as a fanboy. You've worked with one of my favorite artists, Frank Black, and I really love the Honeycomb album and Teenager of the Year album. Do you have any more plans to work with Frank in the future?
Well, I didn't do Teenager of the Year. I did a single around the time of Teenager of the Year. I did the original Men in Black record that also had like four B-sides with that. And then I also did the Fast Man Raider Man record with him. And more recently I produced a record with him and Reed Paley, which came out I think about 3 years ago. And we've been talking about doing another record with him and Reed Paley. Originally we had Chris Franz and Tina Weymouth set to play bass and drums on the record. But then all the plans fell apart, the record company fell apart. But hopefully we can resuscitate that at some point. But he's pretty busy with the Pixies right now. I just saw him about a month ago, came by because I'm almost finished producing a new solo record by my partner Steve Kalinich. And he sang a duet with Steve Kalinich on his new album, Scrambled Eggs.
Oh, nice.
Which will be out early next year on Ms. Music Foothill Records.
I'll have to definitely check that one out when it comes out. Very, very cool stuff indeed. And we've only got a couple minutes left, but I just want to touch upon another fact. You worked with Alex Chilton and Big Star just briefly. What was that experience like? That's legendary in my mind.
Well, I was friends with them because I had written about them in some publications, and they flew me down to Memphis. And when they came up to promote Radio City, I was hanging around with them a lot, and Alex was commiserating to me about how he missed having another guitar player in the band and how would I like to join them and play guitar with them in Max's Kansas City.
Wow.
So that was my professional debut, was playing guitar with Big Star in Max's Kansas City in, I think it was 1974, and we stayed in touch. The following year, I got a job at Chess Records in New York, and, you know, he's very interested in the fact that here I was making my way into the music business, and he kept calling me and asking me to produce him because he was sort of lost adrift a little bit after they made the third Big Star record and no record company would put it out. So I volunteered to produce his what became his first solo recordings, which was the EP Singer Not the Song, which was it's been released several times. It's coming out. It's come out actually this past Record Store Day. The Numero group put out a box set of the Orc singles, and it was on that, but it completely sold out in the first day. So it's coming out as part of a box set in October, the Orc Records box set with the entire EP is on that, along with several of my other productions. In fact, the Orc box of the two CDs is about a third of the record is my productions.
Wow.
And I'm very proud of that. It's the first work I ever did, and I did not get paid for it at the time, and it was not something that I really got a lot of recognition for because I had some conflicts with one of the individuals in Orc Records and had a bitter split with them, and he made no efforts to give me credit or get me paid for the work that I had done. So that was unfortunate at the time.
But, you know, that's now, quite the feather in your cap, I must say. I'm here with John Tiven, and unfortunately our time has come to a close. I just want to thank you so much, John, for spending a little time with us, and maybe we could play one of your songs.
It's been delightful. So, yeah, why don't you play Harmony, Inner Peace, and Tenderness? That's
okay, you got it. Here's John Tiven. Stay on the line, John.
Love will bring you into rhythm. You are a dear, sweet soul.
Voice of Sacramento, underneath Channel 17 and 18's bulletin board, and streamed on the internet at accesssacramento.org.